Thank you, Pastor Emilio. Man, it is great to be here in this house. It's great to see your faces. It's great to worship with everybody that's online today via the internet. We're so honored that you would be here today. You know, after things escalated so fast this week, and it's just, to me, there's no other place I would rather be than right here with you. So thank you for being with us today. And there is the presence of the Lord that's with us, and that is exactly what our heart needs and our head needs right now. Less CNN, more Jesus. Less Fox, more Jesus. Less MSNBC, more Jesus. I don't know your brand or your vein or whatever you're watching. Less social media. Amen. I want to give you a chance to give financially to God today and worship. We love doing that every single week. And for those of you that are joining us online, I want to encourage you to give this week as well. You can give by going to our website, psmchurch.com. There is a giving link there on the website. Please click on that link. It will take you to some prompts. Or this hasn't happened in a long time, but you could actually mail in a check. It's a promised land. People are laughing at that, but it's funny. It is funny. But you could actually do that. Old school technology called snail mail. So we'd love for you to do that. Everybody in the house today, you know how to give. There's different ways up on the screens to give, psmchurch.com. You could also, those of you that are watching online, you could text right now. You could text the word Promised Land, all one word, Promised Land, to 73256. I know Pastor Mike Hollyfield is diligently connecting with everybody online today, and he's going to post that number and a link to give online as well. Or those of you in the building, you can take the envelope and the seat back in front of you and give that way. But we're trusting that God's going to take care of every single need in this house, for the house and for the people of the house. And we know that He is our provider, that the stock market doesn't dictate it, bankers don't dictate it, loans don't dictate it. The economy of the world is definitely a real thing and a tangible thing, but the economy of God stands by itself. And so that's the rules that we live by as believers, that God's going to protect us and bless us and provide for us every single thing that's needed. If you believe that, say amen. And give. Slip that in there. Okay. Let's pray right now for our gifts. Lord, in the name of Jesus, everything that comes in this week, no matter what venue, God, we pray that you're going to bless every single penny and multiply it, God. Make it go further than what we could ever do by ourselves. Make a difference, God, we pray. And help us, Lord Jesus, with how to use it, what to do with it, blessings and favor upon the finances of the individuals that give, and this body as a whole. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay, you can pass those buckets, and as they do, I want to share with you that that the students are, most of our students are in spring break right now, and so we don't have Wednesday night stuff plan for them this week. Take off, enjoy the holiday, and we're not sure when you're going back to school, so enjoy it, all right? Poor homeschoolers, they're just going to plow through, keep on going. Come on, pray for those people, man. I want to say hello to Mick Vanderbilt, who's watching in Florida right now. I also saw some people in Amarillo that's watching today, and others watching from out of state and out of the country. We're just honored to have you with us today. And of course, we have people that are watching in San Marcos that could make it. Maybe they're standing in line at HEB right now. I'm not sure, but it's quite possible. Jesus was a friend, and Jesus needed friends. I'm intrigued by the friendships of Jesus, and I want to talk to you about those today. Sometimes we don't realize that Jesus was a friend himself, and that Jesus, even though he was the Savior of the world, needed people in his life, needed other human beings in his life as well. And our mind can't really wrap itself around that probably, but he was a human. He was God and he was human. He needed friends and he was a friend. And ultimately, what I hope that you see and we all grasp is that we need Jesus as a friend and that Jesus wants to be your friend. We can't wrap our mind around that either because we feel like we're imperfect, we're broken people, he's perfect, he doesn't want to be around us. I want to break that myth up today in this series that Jesus wants to be your friend. You need friends. And this is part of the difficulty with this whole thing that's going on in the U.S. right now. They want you to separate physically from people and not get connected to people physically. But we need to stay connected at any cost. And I feel like I need to say this and get this off my chest, but we're going to continue to gather here at Promised Land and worship on Sundays as long as they legally allow us to do it. And I just have a conviction about that and believe that that's important. And so that doesn't mean that you have to come. Obviously, people watching online, they feel their body is compromised, their immune systems or whatever. There's no judgment or anything towards any of those people that are watching online. But if you want to gather with other believers in person, we're going to give you that opportunity. And the number, the threshold that they're talking about that is, unsafe or whatever, is over 250 people. And as you can see there today, right now, we're not close to that. So, in fact, we took all the ropes off and have extra chairs. If y'all want to just spread out and just go crazy. This is the opposite of everything we want to do usually at Promised Land. Like, usually we're inflating our numbers. Man, all these people are here. Look at how awesome this church is. And now pastor's like, well, we only have about 75 people in our church, so we're going to keep having church. I just have a deep, deep conviction about the house of God and about gathering. And so I'm going to continue to do that. I feel like that's what God's calling us to do. Is that clear? Okay. There were three friends of Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were very close to God and Jesus. And Lazarus, Mary, Martha were brother and sisters. And they lived in Bethany. And Bethany's a town that we talked about last week with Simon. Simon the leper also lived in Bethany. And so Mary, Martha, and Lazarus show up in three different stories in the Bible with Jesus. And I encourage you to go look at those this week. One of them is actually almost all of them around mealtimes. I love that. Mary anoints Jesus' feet with expensive perfume. There's another time where they're having a meal together and Martha's stirring around fixing the food and Mary is worshiping Jesus at his feet again. But this is the third time here that I want to talk about today. They were eating together, hanging out together, listening to Jesus' teaching, and at one point Lazarus became sick. Let's just say he had a virus and he was not doing well. And Mary and Martha took care of him, tried all of the remedies that they had at that day and time to try to deal with his sickness and his illness. And they realized that this virus was getting out of hand, and Lazarus started showing signs that he was not going to make it. He began to get clammy. He began to get white. His temperature started going down, getting cold. Lazarus is dying. The sisters have tried everything they can and nothing's working, and so their only hope now is that Jesus might possibly come work a miracle for them. Maybe he can come and help. John 11:3 says, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. I want you to just look at that line right there. Lord, your dear friend is very sick. This tells us something about Jesus and friendship. This is what it tells us. Sometimes Jesus' friends get sick. And it's kind of an odd thing. You wouldn't expect to see that in the Bible. You would expect to see nothing but flawless living, perfect living, everything glowing and sparkling. But sometimes Jesus' friends get sick. Jesus gets the message. These messengers come and give him the message. And Jesus' attitude about this is that he's not scared. He's not intimidated by the virus. In fact, he chooses not to go see Lazarus immediately. And here's another big kink in the story. Here's another big strange turn for us. We think that Jesus would drop everything and go run to fix the problem. But Jesus does not. In fact, he chooses to wait several days before he goes to see his dear friend. I love that. The Bible says that it was his dear friend. Jesus stays several days before going to see Lazarus. And this is what that tells us about Jesus, is that this sickness does not have control over Jesus. I want to say that one more time. This tells us that sickness does not have control over Jesus, because Jesus waited before he went to go address the situation, because he was like, no, sickness, I'm not going to bow to you. I don't have to bow to you. Jesus waited. And of course, humans, Mary and Martha, were freaking out about that. Because humans feel subject to sickness. We feel like we are under the rule of sickness. And obviously, many times we are. But sickness does not have control over Jesus. Maybe I should just preach that the rest of the month. Sickness does not have control over Jesus. Jesus wanted us to know that. No, I don't have to go right now. I'm going to wait. And it was a tough lesson that those people had to learn, because they were facing sickness and they were facing death. And they're like, we're going to die. He's going to die. Ah! What if everybody else gets it while we're waiting on Jesus to heal Lazarus? They're freaking out about it. It's a tough lesson. Jesus wasn't afraid to let people go through difficult things to learn lessons. And so maybe we should all learn it quickly before we wait too much further. Amen. Man, there's some good stuff in here today. He finally decides to go to town, and when he arrives, he learns that Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. He's dead. And been in the grave for 4 days. Martha runs out to greet Jesus at the edge of town and is emotionally distraught. Why did you not get here earlier? Jesus, if you would have just gotten here earlier, Lazarus, your friend, Lazarus, my brother, would not have died. Why did you not get here earlier? Tells us something else about friends and Jesus. And Jesus' friends. Friends of Jesus ask him tough questions. Why didn't you get here? Looking Jesus in the face and saying, why did you not come earlier? If you thought that you were disqualified from friendship with Jesus because you had some tough questions, I want to just ease that concern today. It doesn't disqualify you. When Mary went up to Jesus and shook him, why didn't you come earlier? Jesus didn't ban her from being his friend anymore, kick her out from not being part of the group. No. Jesus was chill. Jesus can take your questions. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. How many times have we had those questions for Jesus? And if you haven't had those questions before, they're coming recently. They're going to come soon. Jesus, if you had only been here, I would not have lost out on that business deal. Jesus, if you had only been here earlier, I would have not been injured in that accident. Jesus, if you had only been here earlier, I would not have lost my baby. Jesus, if you had only been here, I would not have been abandoned by my wife. So many questions that we ask Jesus. And Jesus' response to Martha is everything. This is what Jesus says in John 11, 23. Your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. And then his next statement is probably the most important statement that you will ever hear in your entire life. Are you ready? Are you awake for this? Online people, wake up. Everybody, wake up. The next thing that Jesus says is the most important thing that you will hear eternally and presently. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. So powerful. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. And then he asked his friend a question. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this, America? And what we're finding out right now is that there's a lot of people in America that had said they believed and went to church a few times and all that, but when the fire was turned up, Jesus is not the main thing that they're putting their trust in. They're shaken, they're afraid, they're nervous. Why? Because Jesus is not the way for them. And that sounds so hard and difficult to digest, but it is the truth. If they believed what Jesus said right here, you can face any threat of your personal life or business or health or relationships or finances or kids and parenting, and anything you face has to be put through this filter. Do you really believe that Jesus is the resurrection or not? That's why we celebrate Easter. He's the resurrection. He got up from the dead. We celebrate that because Jesus beat death, hell, and the grave. I am. And he's saying this before he even resurrected from the dead. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live. Even if you die, you live. If you believe in me. That's why this current climate and this current situation that's happening is the perfect incubator for salvation. Because people need good news. People need the light right now. People need leaders right now. And you can bring the light wherever you go. If you believe in Jesus, even though you die, you live. It's like you win no matter what. It's so awesome. The problem that people are facing right now is they're going to worst case scenarios. We have one case in Hayes County right now. Well, what if? What if? What if there's 10 and we don't know it? What if there's 100 and we don't know it? What if? What if? There's all this fear, all this anxiousness, all this trouble. Okay, what if? What if we all die? I have some news for you. We're all dying. Let that sink in. You're going to die at some point. Do you know Jesus? Because when that happens, everything changes. even though you may die from sickness, the sickness doesn't have control over you. He says, even if you die, everyone is afraid, but even if you die. And so I just ask you that. Do you believe that promise, land? Do you believe that, online folks? Do you believe that message? Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and anyone who believes in him will live. Doesn't matter what skin color you are, doesn't matter what background you come from, doesn't matter your gender, doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, what you've done with your life or what you haven't done with your life, just believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. There's another part of this story that has astounded people for thousands of years now, and that is that after Jesus talked to Martha, Martha left, and then Mary came. And when Mary came, she came to the same spot. Jesus was still in the outskirts of town. He still hadn't run in to save the day. And Jesus is met by Mary. And Mary is weeping uncontrollably. She's emotionally distraught, and she's struggling. And the Bible says that there's many people around her mourning as well. They're all crying. They're all brokenhearted. And Jesus is surrounded by Mary and these people, and there's this overwhelming emotion around him. He begins to experience emotion himself, and something begins to well up inside of Jesus. And the Bible says that it's an emotional anger and of spirit deep down below. He's moved deeply, and Jesus begins to weep himself. And Jesus never questioned whether Lazarus was going to get up or not. Jesus was never insecure about the situation or the illness or threatened by any of it. He was not unsure of what happened. He was not sad because Lazarus was physically dead. But what drove Jesus to cry himself was the overwhelming brokenness of the world. It was this reality that he was living in, that human beings have to face such tough times. And what this teaches us is that Jesus cares about the needs of his friends. He's not just the resurrection of and the life saying, get over it, peons, get over it, mudballs. You know, that's not the kind of God that we serve. He is the resurrection and the life. But he also is moved by what we're moved by. His heart breaks for us that we have to keep going through these things over and over and over and over again. Jesus wept. Even though he's better than our needs, even though he's better than coronavirus, he still hates that we have to go through it. Jesus hates that. I want to read two verses and then I want us to pray. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Now that verse is touching us and keeps on going to say that Jesus was touched in every way as well. He was tempted in every way as well, yet without sin. Now, when we think of temptation, we think of partying or doing something illegal or, breaking trust with somebody or, all these, quote, sins that whatever, you think of as a sin. Jesus didn't do those things. He wasn't immoral, unethical, and all that kind of stuff. But this is talking about, you can sin in ways that is sort of under the radar as well. And that is, sin is not just the bad thing that you do. The sin is way down below the surface when we begin to distrust who Jesus is and who we are in him. And when that begins to unravel way down below the surface, then up on top of the surface, we do things that we regret. And so what the Bible is saying is that we don't serve a God who doesn't feel the weight of that internal brokenness that we have, that weakness. He empathizes with us, and he feels that. And 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, cast all of that anxiousness and all of that care on him because he cares for you. Yesterday I posted something on one of our pages, very, very positive, very upbeat, you know, about raising a daughter with very fragile immune system. And, you know, she was supposed to die after 6 months, and she's 18 years old now. And like every year when sickness comes up, we're like, is this it? Is this the one? And so Erica and I have been trained in these sort of fears for 18 years every time flu season comes up. And just given this positive message about we don't have to be afraid. We're not afraid. We're going to move forward. We're going to keep going. We're going to wash our hands and pray and worship Jesus and you know, be smart and wise, but at the same time, not let it dictate our life and not make us be, you know, all stove up and nervous and afraid and all that kind of stuff. And then there was people that were like, we're not quite that tough yet. Is it okay to have struggle? And I said, yes, whenever things happen, yes, a loved one dies or someone leaves you or whatever, yes, that's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to be difficult. Cast those anxieties. Put those things on Jesus because he cares for you. And I want to tell you, when it gets tougher and tougher, that means you need to cast them quicker and quicker. Don't let them build up. Don't wait till Sunday. In fact, I came by and I've been praying and praying, and I realized yesterday I'm going to have to pray multiple times each day to make sure that I am casting my care on him. Because as humans, we can only carry so much. Put that on the Lord. He is capable. His shoulders carried the cross. They're carrying your burdens. So no matter what you're facing or what you're going through, Jesus is able to help you. Would you stand with me right now and let's go to God in prayer? I want to invite everybody that's online today to pray with us as well. If you're in the room, if you're online, wherever you are. And let me just say this, wherever you are in life. So if you're in a place of like, good or bad, wherever you are, let's make a declaration today. If you're ready for this, if you're ready to serve God, if you're ready to stand in this place of peace and no fear, then what we're going to do is we're going to make a declaration of our faith and a confession of our sin, and we're going to march into this week with our trust and our faith and our eyes on Jesus. Would you just bow your heads with me right now and just say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please forgive me for doubting in you. Please forgive me for looking to everything else for solutions instead of you. God, I've been distracted. I've been looking at all the wrong places, all the wrong people. God, I've been doing things that are not in your ways. God, I've acted out. I've been angry. I've been angry at family members. I've been angry at kids. I've been angry at my spouse. Please forgive me. Lord, I've looked inward for my solution. Lord, I've looked to other people for my solution. Please forgive me. I trust in you, Jesus. Here's a big confession of our faith right now. I want you to say this with me. I believe, Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. I believe in you. I will live even if I die. Come on, let's say that one more time and believe it. Jesus, I believe you are the resurrection and the life. I will live even if I die. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you clap your hands right now and just declare? Yeah. Amen. Amen. As we walk along this journey, stay connected online to us throughout the week. We're going to be posting different things, updates, information, encouraging thoughts, encouraging words. Please stay connected on all the different outlets online. Most definitely want to connect with you there. And if you need anything along this way, if you run out of something, toilet paper, milk, you know, the essentials, Fruity Pebbles, whatever you need, come on, let us know. We're here for you. We love you. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful day. God bless.